Good morning. It's 11 minutes before the hour. You're listening to NPR's Morning Edition over Raven Radio, KCAW, in Sitka, where it's 52 degrees and overcast. Today's Monday, May 21st, 2012. I'm Robert Woolsey with Raven News. Officials at the Alaska Raptor Center had to euthanize a bald eagle last week. An X-ray revealed that it had been shot. KCAW's Ed Ronco has more.
Veterinarian Victoria Vosberg says the Alaska Raptor Center heard there was an eagle lingering in a trailer park near Indian River on Wednesday night.
People had been able to approach the bird, and a dog had walked right up to the bird, and that's not normal. So we went out there. It was hard to find the bird because it was actually under some trees, but we were able to capture it.
What Vosberg and Rehabilitation Coordinator Jen Cedarleaf ended up finding was a fairly large female with a brood patch.
What a brood patch is where the adult eagles pluck their own feathers out so that they can rest their bare, warm skin on the eggs to incubate them.
So Vosberg says the bird definitely at one point had a nest.
We took the injured bird back to the Raptor Center, took an X-ray, and that's when we learned that it had been shot actually a little while ago.
Bird bones tend to shatter, not break cleanly, and so when they heal, Vosberg says the X-ray image appears fuzzy. A fuzzy image, plus the eagle's low body weight and dull talons, told them it had been on the ground a while. The X-ray also revealed a bullet.
It actually looks whiter than bone does on the X-ray. And just because a bird has been shot, that's not a reason to euthanize. But this bird was shot right in the elbow. And we would not have been able to repair this elbow to the point where the bird could ever fly and hunt again.
It's not uncommon for large birds to suffer injuries in Sitka, and when they do, they usually end up at the Raptor Center. But the shooting of a bird is rare and illegal.
The first offense is actually punished with up to a year in jail and or fines of up to $100,000. And that would depend entirely on the case.
Bruce Woods is a spokesman for the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. The Federal Bald and Golden Eagle Protection Act makes it illegal to harm, possess, sell, export, import, or do just about anything to an eagle, really, except look at it.
The laws around any migratory bird, if you delve into the laws, are relatively strict. With eagles, for instance, it's illegal even to possess eagle feathers. Unless you're a Native American or an Alaska Native who's received them through the Bald and Golden Eagle Repository.
Woods says his agency hears about one or two instances of eagle shootings every year, but it's not a regular thing. Back in Sitka, Vosberg says euthanizing the bird makes this case particularly tragic, especially since that was not the original plan.
We were thinking in terms of, how fast can we release this bird to get it back to the nest to save its babies? It just didn't even occur to us that this was going to be a euthanasia. So when we took that X-ray and saw how bad it was, we were both pretty heartbroken. And after doing this for 20 years, it's still heartbreaking to have to euthanize an eagle.
Anyone with information about someone harming an eagle is asked to call the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service in Anchorage at 907-786-3309 and ask for law enforcement. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ed Ronco.
The foreclosure sale of the True Alaska bottling plant in Sitka is off, and now the prospective buyer appears likely to sue. Until the dust settles, one of Sitka's most valuable industrial properties could remain in legal limbo.
Southeastern Tidal Agency sold the Tab plant to Silver Bay Seafoods in a public outcry auction in the Sitka Courthouse on April 23rd. The purchase price was $1.1 million. A few days later, Southeastern Tidal learned that it had improperly advertised the sale by failing to advertise on the internet. When it tried to rescind the sale and give Silver Bay its money back, Silver Bay refused and asked the Sitka Superior Court on May 1st for a temporary restraining order preventing Southeastern Tidal from rescinding the sale. The temporary order expired on May 16th. Silver Bay then asked for a preliminary injunction to preserve the sale. In its filing with the court, attorneys for Silver Bay wrote that the harm to Silver Bay is even more certain if the trustee rescinds the sale. At that point, Silver Bay will have lost the property, money, business opportunities, and all other costs associated with the foreclosure sale. The TAB plant is next door to Silver Bay's processing operation. The two were both originally part of Sitka's Alaska Pulp Corporation mill. The injunction has been denied. Superior Court Judge Trevor Stevens says he sees no irreparable harm to Silver Bay, especially if it gets its money back. Alaska law allows 10 days for a trustee to review and cancel a foreclosure sale. In addition, Stevens wrote that the court would abuse its discretion if it ordered Southeastern Title to convey the title without the internet notice required by law. The statute requiring the internet notice was passed by the Alaska legislature in 2010. Judge Stevens ordered a preliminary hearing on June 27th at 1 p.m. for scheduling the case for trial, though he wrote that it is not clear what may remain to try. Southeastern Title has deposited Silver Bay's payment for the TAB plant with the court. Southeastern Title's attorney, Brian Hansen, says his client intends to rescind the sale. He told KCAW that it will be re-advertised only if directed by the beneficiary. The beneficiary of the sale is Sitka businessman Roger Sudnikovich, one of TAB's early investors. He was owed a total of $985,000 from TAB. He filed the foreclosure in January. In an interesting twist, Sawmill Cove director Gary White says Sudnikovich was also the other bidder on the TAB property at April's public auction. He stopped at $1,060,000. Neither Sudnikovich or Silver Bay attorney John Young was available for comment by deadline for this story.
Last Friday was National Bike to Work Day, and Sitkins were among those celebrating. Many biked to a free pancake breakfast in honor of the event held Friday morning at the University of Alaska Southeast Sitka campus. Jack Osmond was one of them. He's been riding his bike regularly for some 40 years.
When I lived in Virginia, I belonged to a bike club, and we'd go out and ride in the back roads and see the country. And then I got to where I did triathlons for several years, and you had to do a lot of bike riding to keep myself in condition so I could do triathlon.
Osmond rode 4 miles each way for the pancakes at UAS. He rides regularly still, mostly when the sun is shining. He says he passed 80 years of age a couple of years ago.
We try not to let that bother our operation. Okay, I'm just past the birthdays and try to keep doing things. It's just let the birthdays not count for anything.
Sitka also renewed its certification as a bicycle-friendly community last week. The League of American Bicyclists hands out the designation as part of National Bike Month. The award comes in part because of the infrastructure Sitka has set up for cyclists. The community has bike lanes on many of its roads and shelters throughout town for bike parking. Sitka is one of 214 bike-friendly communities in 47 states. In 2008, it was the first Alaska community to be designated bike-friendly. Anchorage and Juneau followed in subsequent years. Sitka has been at the bronze level of bike friendliness since its inception. Doug Osborne with the Sitka Bicycle Friendly Community Coalition says getting to gold would take more resources.
For having volunteers and for having different businesses, and we've done a lot, it's been great, but if we want to go anything past bronze, we need an expert who's working on it day in and day out. And it wouldn't have to be maybe a full-time job, but somebody who's, you know, at least half of their duties are figuring out how to make it more safe, doable, efficient, friendly for bikers and walkers.
The coalition reminds motorists to share the road with bikers and reminds bikers to always ride in the same direction of traffic, wear highly visible clothing and lights, and use other common safety practices. A new redistricting plan now pits Juneau Representative Kathy Munoz against Haines Representative Bill Thomas and separates downtown Juneau and Petersburg. The Alaska Redistricting Board last week adopted significant changes to Southeast political boundaries. Munoz's current Mendenhall Valley District expands to Haines, Skagway, Gustavus, and Funter Bay. The board also redrew the capital city's other House district, represented by Beth Kurtula, to include downtown, Douglas Island, the airport, and Fritz Cove Road. The redistricting board originally paired downtown Juneau with Petersburg. The fishing town argued that it doesn't have enough in common with Juneau, which is more dependent on government and tourism. Thomas says he can now make that same argument.
I don't think we have much in common, but, you know, but I guess, you know, other than we're all people, so I guess that's one way to look at it. But if you look at just Haines, we're primarily, again, a fishing town, so, you know, I think they're going to be the same dilemma they have in Petersburg.
Thomas currently represents what's known as the Iceworm District, comprised of native villages and fishing communities all the way to Cordova. Munoz and Thomas, both Republicans, have already filed to run for re-election in districts that look far different than those announced last week. They have until June 1st to decide if they will run against each other in the August Republican primary. Munoz believes the redistricting board's latest plan will be challenged by Alaska Native groups.
There's still a lot of uncertainty with this plan because of the elimination with this plan of the Native voting district. I'm not sure what, if anything, will change from this option A that was adopted today and what might eventually come out of the Department of Justice ruling on this plan. But I do anticipate that there will be challenge from Native organizations in our region.
Huna and Angoon, previously in Thomas's district, are now with Sitka, Petersburg, and Wrangell, as well as several small towns on Prince of Wales Island and a number of other tiny communities, including Tenneke Springs, Elfin Cove, and Pelican. Under the current plan, the southern southeast district is Ketchikan, Saxman, Metlakatla, Craig, Klawak, and Heidelberg. The redistricting board redrew the southeast boundaries to comply with an Alaska Supreme Court order that the map be based on state constitutional requirements. Even if it's approved by the state Supreme Court, it still must pass scrutiny by the U.S. Justice Department. The board's attorney, Mike White, says that process could take 60 days. Southeast Alaska lost population in the last census, and the number of house districts in the region are shrinking from 5 to 4. Zone weather forecast today for Sitka and Port Alexander calls for rain, highs around 56, east winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. Tonight, rain likely in the evening, diminishing late, lows around 46, southeast winds 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, scattered showers, highs around 54. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW, in Sitka.